Now, on 21st of April this year, Eagle Records will be releasing Novum, a brand new studio album by Procol Harum, the 13th, the first for 14 years. But significantly, it's the band's 50th anniversary year the band are undertaking a big UK and European tour. There'll be a new single from that record, which I'll play in a little while. And I'm delighted that Gary Brooker joins me now. Hello, Gary.
Hello there.
How are you?
Oh, I'm very, very well.
50 years. That's a long showbiz anniversary, isn't it?
Nearly a lifetime.
Well, the thing is, as rock music gets older as an art form, these anniversaries will happen, which I guess at the time when you were just starting out, you could not have envisaged this, could you?
You never thought it would last, you know, well, you thought maybe a couple of years, few years.
Yeah.
But I think you just got to, you know, if you can still sing, still play, people still want to see it, well, there you are. You're not going to get out of it.
No, and well, inevitably they do, because I'm looking down here at the tour dates. The Royal Festival Hall date, sold out.
Yeah, that's sold out. That's next week, actually.
Yeah, I mean...
Before we go around the rest of Britain.
That's right, and you're going around the rest of Britain to Edinburgh, Manchester. I'll give all these out later. And ProcolHarumNovum.com has all this information, if you want to look at that. But big concert halls in Edinburgh, Manchester, Liverpool, Birmingham, Shepherd's Bush Empire, Nottingham, Bristol. We'll talk about the 50 years and why it's Shed of Pale and played in a moment. We will end by playing Sunday Morning, as people will hear. You're in terrific voice.
Well,
do you have a regime that you keep up?
Yes, absolutely.
And what is it?
Yeah, I just have two glasses of red wine before I go on, which actually relaxes the vocal cords.
Right.
I have a box of Ricola, the Swiss Herbal Sweet,
right,
which keeps everything lubricated. And then I've just had to remember the words then.
Wow, can you use auto cue? Can you have a bit of auto cue on the keyboard or anything like that? No.
No, I couldn't.
You wouldn't have to remember the words, I guess, to White Shed of Pale. I mean, most rock fans can probably recite them word for word, can't they?
Yeah, no. Hopefully they get them right.
Yeah. I knew, of course, that it's your first record, White Shed of Pale, which is incredible in itself. I didn't realise, and correct me if I'm wrong, I was just looking at some information, it was the first recording you ever made. Is that right?
It's the first recording that Procol Harum made. Yeah.
So you go into a studio for the first time and the first thing you make is one of the defining rock singles of all time. That's incredible.
Yeah, well, we just had at that time, we had a lot to say. We thought we were different. And it turns out that we were.
Well, no one had quite heard a record like this, had they? And maybe we should play and then talk more, because I don't think... Do you think it's fair to say that no one had quite heard a record like White Shed of Pale before?
I don't think there had been a sound like that, and I don't think there's been one since. I'm not saying that from a conceited point of
no.
view, but it still sounds different.
Whenever you play a White Shed of Pale, Gary, it has an ambience that kind of fills the room, I always think. Do you know what I mean? There's an atmosphere to the record you can almost smell when you play the record.
Yeah. It's a bit of a pong, but it's all right.
Do you, when you were there at the piano and you looked at the lyric, when Keith Reid sent you the lyric, when you sat down at the piano and the chords sort of fell under your hands or you began to play the chords, did you immediately think, this is something special?
I thought it was a bit different. I thought, no, I was going to stick with this. This is a good idea. And, it didn't expand much beyond that. It was pretty much, that was what got recorded. And it was always, I thought, it was a good musical idea. I liked singing over the top of it with those words.
Yeah.
And it never really changed.
Here's a fact, you'll probably know this fact, but it's always one that intrigues me. That White Shed of Pale and Bohemian Rhapsody are routinely cited as two of the biggest selling, maybe they tell the two biggest British rock singles ever, I don't know. And they have something else really quirky in common. Do you know what it is, Gary?
I always thought that you could not have a massive worldwide hit without having the word Fandango in it.
Fandango is in both of those songs, and I can't think of another song that Fandango's in.
No, which
is amazing. I also can't think of many cover versions of that record. Is it kind of a bit uncoverable?
Yeah, I think it is,
yeah.
But I think there's been about 700 covers.
Oh, really? It's just that is it. That's the definitive reading that you did there, and you can't really change that, I always think. And before we move off it, didn't you once tell me that you knew... Well, John Lennon had it in his car, didn't he? Didn't John Lennon have it in the Duke?
A thing that played 45s in his lovely roller.
Yeah.
And he usually played it a lot in there. Yeah, I just walked down King's Road once, one New Year's Eve, got bored in the pub, me and my wife, or my girlfriend at the time, and we passed Rolls, and I thought, I could hear White Shade of Pale, and the door opened, and it was John Lennon. He said, Gully, get in, you know, because he had a Liverpool accent, see. And he was playing it in there, and he said, have a drink, you know. And he had a bottle of champagne in there. It was lovely.
Wow, that you must think this has turned out to be quite an evening when John Lennon's playing your record in his roller on New Year's Eve and he says, get in and have a drink.
I mean, looking back, it seems quite odd, but at the time, it seemed quite normal.
Those things kind of happened then, didn't they? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you once said to me as well that you knew that it was going to be big when... Were you at the top deck of a bus and you saw a sign outside a record shop or something?
I did... Well, it sold enormously quickly.
Yeah.
And there was no radio stations apart from a couple of pirates.
Yeah.
You know, there was no way to get a record out. It was absolutely word of mouth, or you caught it somewhere on a jukebox or round of friends. And I think the second week it was out, I was going up Oxford Street on a bus and on the record shops up there, I saw, you know, a big sign painted in the window with a bit of distemper saying, yes, we have it.
Wow.
I thought, what is it? And then a couple of shots further down, yes, we've got it, a wider shade. But, you know, I thought, God, we've made it.
Yeah, yeah. That record particularly, and the other great records from that period, and just beyond, going right up through, you know, Homburg, Conquistador, going right up through 70s records like Pandora's Box and this. Did you... They're unclassifiable. And you as a band have always been slightly unclassifiable. That White Shade of Pale is a progressive rock soul record, isn't it? You know what I mean? You've got a kind of R&B soul voice, but often the musical arrangements have been more like progressive rock.
I think I just grew up liking American, well, really black music.
Yeah.
You know, from Ray Charles, Little Richard, and a lot of the early soul singers, Otis's and that. I could never sing like any of them, but I just did my own version of that kind of singing, you know, so call it blues, soul, whatever.
Yeah.
And it always, it just kind of worked all right. But, you know, the music was different, as you say.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's ever been properly put into a little basket of something.
No.
Somewhere.
No,
it was progressive in that you were trying to do something that was different. That was a progressive idea.
One of the things, when you play the Royal Festival Hall, you're playing with an orchestra. That's the sold-out show next week. But
yeah.
And that is something you have always done, I think, better than a lot of bands as well. Because sometimes when bands play with orchestras, it's the orchestra's slightly bolted on to, you know, to give it a bit of French polish, if you see what I mean. But when you've done things like with the Edmonton Symphony Orchestra, they've been fully realised. I mean, did you grow up listening to orchestral music?
Yeah, quite a bit. I did listen to a bit by choice. Knew sort of a lot of the classical favourites.
Yeah.
They've always come in little bits here and there in different songs. But I was quite happy. The thing is with the Procol repertoire that it lends itself to being expanded upon by that kind of instrumentation and a choir as well.
Right.
It just lends itself. It's not a battle between
yeah.
two genres of music. We all blend together.
Yeah, yeah.
We hope.
Here's a little email that's coming from Sarah Bennett, has been in touch, she listens to us every day in a small vintage boutique in Brixton, South London, and says, I've not written in before, but I'm from Southend-on-Sea originally, which is your neck of the woods, Gary, isn't it?
Oh.
And Sarah Bennett's dad was Cliff Bennett. And he says, I think you might have known my dad.
Cliff Bennett as in the singer. Cliff
yeah.
Bennett, Rebel Rousers, etc.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bump into him even now.
Right.
From time to time. I thought she was Dave Bennett's daughter for a minute.
Right. Okay.
No, not Cliff Bennett.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Oh, do you mean, there's two Cliff Bennetts.
Ah, well, I think this one might be another one then, because
there's Southend Cliff Bennett.
Ah.
And then there's Cliff Bennett and the Rebel Rousers.
Well, I think this might be Southend Cliff, because this was back in the day when you were in the Paramounts, and
okay.
you think you might have known
yeah,
him then.
It was
yeah,
good friends with her father, did you say?
Yeah.
So he sadly passed on.
Yeah, great.
But, yeah, oh, hello there, Sarah.
Well, yes, and Mum Tina, because she says I always enjoyed Gary's music as well. So, I mean, 50 years, you're out on tour again. I mean, one of the things I was going to say, what has changed, I guess one of the main things has changed, is that the music business has changed, hasn't it, out of all recognition. And how does that feel? Does it feel like an entirely different world than the one you stepped into as a young man in 67?
Well, it's a bit unknown these days. I mean, don't forget, though, we have been playing live all of this time.
Sure,
we've been
yeah.
playing live for the last 10 years, so
yeah.
we're kind of experienced on that level.
Yeah.
And we know our audience, and we know the sort of people that come to gigs. So that's all cool. But it's different. You know, I still talk about we've made a new record.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We've made a new CD, but even that doesn't fill the cart these days, because I can't even find a record shop, you know.
Yeah. Oh, well, you might be for vinyl's back. Not, people are buying it as a fashion accessory these days, though, Gary. I don't know if you knew this, that vinyl's taking off again as a sales thing, but a lot of them are never getting played. They're going up on the wall and people download the download code and play them. So,
oh, wow.
I know. Who'd have thunk it, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, you don't need glasses to see the cover.
Well, indeed. Indeed, yeah. Yeah. Pete Brown writes lyrics for you these days as well.
Yeah, Pete, we combined with Pete on this one. He's done a great job on the lyrics. He, you know, formerly writing with Cream, but I've bumped into Pete on and off over the years. And we mentioned this a couple of years ago. And it finally came together. He's done a great job.
Great. So Novum is out in spring. This will be, as I say, your 13th studio album. You've been in your 50th anniversary year. How were the circumstances of this recording? We're going to play the track Sunday morning from it now, but did you go in for a set period of time? Did it just assemble itself over a few months? Or?
No. It was quite a quick process. We started writing the songs for it in sort of July. Had a bit of a break, wrote a few more in September, find that we had enough to get started at least, and went into the studio at the beginning of October. And it was all played kind of live in the studio.
Right, okay, right. The artwork adds a little sort of hint of the debut album of 67, doesn't it, as well, which is nice, yeah.
It's got a touch of... It's very whimsy, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So we'll play Sunday Morning Now, which is the single that comes from Novum. The dates are Royal Festival Hall next week, but you may have to kill to get a ticket, as Baz Bamick Boy would say. But after that, Edinburgh Queen's Hall, Manchester Bridgewater Hall, Liverpool Philharmonic, Birmingham Town Hall, Shepherd's Bush Empire, Nottingham Concert Hall, Bristol Colston Hall, ProcolHarumNovum.com is where you'll find out all the information. And as people will hear right now, Gary, in absolutely terrific voice today as well. So
thanks.
Thanks for taking the time to do this, Gary.
Okay, see you in Manchester.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, Stuart. Sunday morning, I'm so free.
Still an amazing voice, as I said. That's Procol Harum and Sunday Morning.